noseful of foundation. Mom doesn't seem to mind. I was so worried about you, Snookums.
Lord have mercy, I was hoping that rat catcher was gonna stay gone, Grandma mutters, sitting in a chair and fanning herself. Most peaceful couple of hours my whole visit.
Quiet, Mama, Mom says, setting Bertha down, where she immediately begins hopping around like her normal self. All right, let's get going. Oliver, John and Charles are waiting for you in the garage. Everyone starts filing out of the room. When it's just the two of us, Oliver turns to me. I really enjoyed this morning, he says softly. Besides the dog poop investigation, I did too, I say before I give him a smirk. You really ought to be careful where you plant your seed. He laughs. I know the best place to plant it next time. A flush burns my cheeks, remembering the unbridled passion on the beach and the way we seem to crash like waves themselves. He grabs me and pulls me in, giving me a kiss that leaves me wanting more. See you at the reception hall, Oliver says. Outside, I get in the SUV with Sam, the driver, behind the wheel. All the women are in it, and Roxy's already called shotgun. Let's roll, Sam. So what's this place like again, Mom? I know you told me about it over the phone, but I forget the details, I say, turning to her. She's behind me with Grandma. You'll love it. It's not that far, only about 5 miles away. It's on the beach in a little cove, Mom says. You're really going to love it. When we arrive at the hall 20 minutes later, it doesn't disappoint. The outside is amazing. A beautiful giant adobe, almost Caribbean-style structure, sitting just on the edge of the sand. The inside of the hall is gorgeous, with huge windows along the eastern wall that give a breathtaking view of the ocean. This place looks like something out of a fairy tale wedding, but that's what Mom's getting. I'm speechless, I breathe as I look around the inside. Forget the reception. I'd love to have my wedding in some place like this. All right, ladies, let's get to work, Mom says. Lots to do, and not a lot of time to do it in. Roxy and I are given the task of hanging up some electric lights shrouded in lace, and we get to work with the ladder. As we get the strands tacked, Roxy chuckles. You know, you and Ollie should use this place. You guys are just so beautiful together. You think? I ask, my heart aching. Before I could easily lie, say he was just a bastard who has a hot body. But now, the truth hurts. He's a sham of a fiancé, but he's got everything I've ever dreamed of a man having. Face it, he's a catch. My cell buzzes in my purse, saving the day. I pull it out. It's Brianna. Hey, Rox, can you handle this for a few yourself? It's my bestie. Roxy glares at me, a thumbtack in her mouth. Hurry. How you doing, girl? Brianna asks as soon as I pick up the line, and I feel a grin start before my worries start up again. Brianna knows what this all is. Maybe she can help. Good, I guess. What's wrong? You sound down, Brianna says, and I hesitate. I don't know if I should tell her the truth. Come on, Min. I know you well enough even over the phone. Aren't you having fun? Oh, I'm having fun, I admit. All I can handle. How's Oliver been? Brianna asks. Behaving? No, I say with a little chuckle. But good. Very good. I know that tone, Mindy. Something you need to tell me? Well, I say, wondering how much I should tell Brianna. At what point did you start thinking you had feelings for Gavin? Oh, it's that sort of problems, Brianna says. Well, to let you know, I think it was about 3 seconds after I saw him the first time. Come on, I'm serious, I protest. When? Brianna's voice grows somber, and I can imagine that intense look on her face that she has when she's worried about me. Mindy, it doesn't really matter. It happened. So what's the problem? You know this isn't, I start before lowering my voice. You know this isn't supposed to be real. And I was supposed to be a one-night stand or a sport fuck, Brianna reminds me. Look how Gavin and I turned out. If you're feeling something for him. Hey, get off the phone and help me, you lazy skank, Roxy yells.
I'm not doing all this my damn self.
Roxy?
Brianna asks, and I chuckle. How'd you know?
She reminds me of some foul-mouthed, cute-as-hell coffee shop manager I know, Brianna says.
Seriously, though, if you like him, don't wait and give yourself the drama I did. Tell him.
I'll keep that in mind, I reply.
Thanks. Love you, Bree. But I gotta go before Roxy starts throwing tacks at me.
Bye.
I head back over toward Roxy. But before I can get halfway across the hall, the doors open. I see Oliver, carrying a huge set of speakers, one in each hand, the DJ behind him.
Over there,
she says, and Oliver gives me a sexy little grin and blows me a kiss as he heads off across the hall. I get back over to help Roxy, who climbs down from the ladder, handing me what looks like paper lanterns.
Here, you hang. I'll hand you the next ones, she says, grumbling. You know how hard I've been working?
Sorry, I say, climbing the ladder. I start putting up the lanterns, but get distracted in my thoughts. I think about what a good man Oliver is. With the dog and all that, I could totally see settling down, and I try to push the thoughts away. I have to remember this is fake. In a few days, it will all be over. I just need to enjoy it for what it is. A fun vacation fling. But it's not that easy. The passion, the connection, all of that feels real. Maybe Brianna is right. Roxy waves her hand in front of my face.
Mandy, Roxy says, the lanterns?
Huh? I ask, looking away and blinking. What's that, Rox?
I know you love your fiancé's ass and stuff, but we need to get this done.
I chuckle as we go back to work, doing my best to deal with the questions running rampant in my head. But there's one thing I know for sure. I don't know what's real anymore.
Chapter 18. Oliver. The bedroom lights are low, and I marvel as I run my fingers down Mindy's arm, enjoying watching the goosebumps rise on her skin. How do you keep doing that? She asks, smiling. 2 days of us having sex, and you keep surprising me. I know it's coming, and you still make it happen. A secret. I chuckle, looking into her eyes. And you've got great skin. The past few days have been paradise. With most of the big stuff done, we've had some more time to just spend together. Most of it has been spent talking. The more and more time we spend together, the more I grow confused. At first, this was all fun and games, but it's turned into something more. Being here with her, getting to know her and her family, I've enjoyed every minute of it. Sure, some of them are wild. Her sister has sex on the brain way too much. Her mother's a bit too worried about money, and her grandmother gives exactly zero fucks what anyone thinks about what she has to say. But they're real, and they love each other. All of them. And Mindy herself. She's more than a princess. She's an angel. She reaches up, cupping my face to look into my eyes. Her breathing is still ragged from our early morning quickie, and watching her naked body on top of the sheets, I can't believe that I've had the chance to be with her as often as I have. That was great, she says, shuddering. You take my breath away. Good, I say, delivering a kiss to her lips, because I plan on doing that a lot more. She smiles for a moment, then it slowly fades. A lot more? We only have a few days left. Reality's coming, and it's coming too damn fast. I feel a little jolt. It's now Friday. It's the day before her mother's wedding. Honestly, it feels like our last day together. Our return flight is Monday morning, but I'm sure Sunday will be spent preparing to go home and spending a lot of time with the family. It'll be the hug and kiss goodbye time, and a chance to wish Mary Jo and John off on their honeymoon. They're flying out Monday, too. We don't even have all day today. Today is already packed with rehearsals and trying on stuff. This will be our last leisurely morning. And it's hard to admit, but I don't want it to end. Yeah, I murmur, my chest feeling like I've got a lead weight pressing down on it. It's taking away my breath and making it hard to even say what I want to say. I want to tell her that the dream doesn't have to end. I want to promise her more than just a fantasy week on the ocean. But I can't form the words. How can I tell her that I don't think this is fake anymore? Our engagement might be fake, but what I'm feeling damn sure isn't. What are you going to do when you get back? She asks softly. Probably check on Mom first. Then make sure my business isn't in total shambles before it ever gets off the ground, I say, slightly troubled. Last week, making Steel Security a name in the corporate world dominated my thoughts and my efforts. Now, it just doesn't seem as important as spending time with Mindy. Then I'll make sure my little shithead brother hasn't burned down my house. I asked him to watch my place. She smiles. I'm sure everything will be okay. If he's anything like Roxy, he's a pain in the ass, but comes through when your back's to the wall. She sighs and turns on her side, running her hand down my slightly stubbled cheek and making my morning shadow crinkle. But I'm not gonna lie. I'm not looking forward to going back to that damn coffee shop. I've been having so much fun, and the days have flown by. I've been having a blast, I agree. I've really enjoyed my time here. A flush comes to her cheeks and goes down her neck to her chest, and she bites her lip, smiling slightly. Thank you. It means a lot, and you make me feel good. And to think, the first time I met you, I wanted to choke you. I chuckle. Yeah, well, that was hot. I loved how you walked in there with your little list, thinking you could tame me. It was cute. Mindy smiles and traces my jaw with her fingers like she's trying to memorize me with her touch as much as with her eyes. Who's to say I'm not just doing this to wrap you around my finger? An insidious plan to make you my love slave. Who's to say I'm not doing the same? When I first saw you, I told myself you thought you were a queen, and I was going to have to be your king. How am I doing? Mindy laughs. She runs her hands down my body, making my skin prick. I can't complain, that's for sure. I don't think I've ever been this satisfied. I don't need compliments, but her words still warm me on the inside. Her opinion matters to me. It makes me feel important. Her eyes flicker for a moment before they dim, and I see her gaze grow distant. She's thinking about something. I've grown close enough to her over the past few days to know that look. What is it? I ask her. Whatever it is, you can tell me. Her lips part, and she struggles for the words that I can sense even before she tries to form them. They're foolish, but I want her to say them. I want her to tell me that she truly wants me, that perhaps there's a chance for something back home. I don't know how I'd react, but to hear her say those words, I need it. I need her. She looks away, turning over and wrapping her arms around her body. It's nothing. It's something, I say, spooning behind her and feeling her amazingly soft skin press against me. I bring my lips to the back of her neck and nuzzle, knowing just where she likes to be touched already. Just how much she likes that little spot right where her hair makes a little V-shape at the nape of her neck. I kiss and nibble, wrapping my arms around her and stroking her arms. You know you like it. Tell me what's on your mind. She lets out a soft little moan, arching her back to slide her right breast into my hand and pressing her ass back against my cock. Jesus, you know what you're doing. But really, it's nothing. Oh, really? I say playfully, trailing my free hand down her thigh, enjoying the feel of her soft flesh. I think you're lying to me. What gives you that idea? She asks breathlessly, gasping as I pinch her nipple and tug on it lightly. Fuck, I didn't know I could get this hot so quickly again. I can feel your pulse racing, I murmur, kissing her neck again, under my lips. That's just because of what you're doing to me, she gasps, and we both know where your hand's going. I grin, recognizing the deflection. Well, if you're not going to tell me, I can stop, or I can continue. She squirms, still not answering me. I pull her tighter against me and press into her. I roll her onto her back and get on top, kissing her lips with more passion. She melts and I pull back, grinning. Got anything to say? Silence. Okay, if that's how you want to play it, I warn her. I bring my lips to her neck, trailing kisses down her body. She arches her back, her head pointed to the ceiling as I stroke her skin with my hands while I kiss down the hard buttons of her nipples, sucking on them and biting them lightly before I make my way down her belly. Then I stop. Still nothing. Okay, Mindy gasps. Please don't stop. She needs this. We both need this. But I don't want to rush things. We're not going to have many more intimate moments. Fuck everything else. If we have to bring it all to a close in a few days, and this is the last chance for me to show her what she is, what she's starting to mean to me, then that's what I'm going to do. Oliver, let's make this quick. They're waiting. As I go down between her legs, my mouth watering at the heavenly scent already wafting from her wet pussy and ready to devour her, I growl, looking up into her eyes. Let them wait.
Chapter 19. Mindy. Oh, Mom, I crow, tears coming to my eyes as she steps out of the dressing room in her wedding gown, her arms held out wide. She looks glorious. The beautiful white gown hugs her figure, all lace and classy design that makes her look elegant. The full train scrapes the floor, and she looks like she's walking on a cloud as she crosses the polished hardwood. Tears cloud my eyes as I search for the words to tell her how she looks, but I can't. You're beautiful, absolutely radiant. It's hard to believe that it's already Friday afternoon. After missing breakfast and sleeping in with Oliver, it's been pedal to the floor the whole time, doing rehearsals, getting last-minute adjustments to our dresses, and checking that Sam and the other staff are on the spot with bringing in dozens of people from both sides of the family. Now we're all dressed in our gowns for the wedding, doing the last dress rehearsal and fit, making sure things look good. Aunt Rita, Layla, Roxy, and Grandma are all together with us, sitting around the room, and all of us are amazed at Mom as she comes out. Beautiful is right, Rita says, putting a hand on her chest. I can't wait to walk you down the aisle tomorrow. Grandma cackles lightly. Yeah, my baby is beautiful. But my word, Mary Jo, your butt looks like it grew 3 sizes. Leave it to Grandma to work in a wisecrack. Mom waves it off, knowing it's the design of the dress itself. And of course, Roxy puts her own 2 cents in. Yeah, Mom. You got so much booty in that dress, you're gonna be making John holler tonight, Roxy adds, thinking she's funny. It's definitely not something I want to think about, and I doubt I'm alone. Roxy looks cute, though, in her white knee-length Valentino dress, flirty but still sexy at the same time. It hugs her upper body before flaring itself at her waist, but doesn't go full party dress mode and keeps the poof under control. It's perfect for her. Oh, he'll be hollering all right, I say with a grin. Hollering for her to shut up about where they're going to go for the honeymoon. You thought about where you're going yet? Probably hedonism, where they can get their freak on right there on the beach, Roxy says before Mom can answer. It's been one of the only secrets left, where they're actually going on their honeymoon. Oh, stop it, Mom says, laughing. You two are such a riot. I love you both. Roxy and I go over to Mom, the three of us doing a group hug, and I can't help but tear up a little at it. We love you too, Mom. We walk out of the dressing room for rehearsals after Mom lectures all of us about what she wants. I can tell Grandma wants to tell her to shut up a few times, but we all just listen, knowing it's her show. It's crowded in the chapel near the reception hall, with staff going around everywhere. There are family members I haven't seen in ages. And I know that tomorrow is going to be all playing catch-up with them. Some of them, like my cousin Jamie, I'm looking forward to. Others, not so much. Hey, check it out, Roxy says, jostling my elbow. Stud alert. My breath catches in my throat as I follow Roxy's guiding hand. I see Oliver standing with a group of men, talking like he's part of the family. He's just come out of the dressing rooms, and the rest of the room fades away as I look at him. He's gorgeous, dressed in his tux. It fits him in a way that makes him look debonair, relaxed, and powerfully seductive. More than ever, he looks like the devil in a tuxedo. My heart is doing backflips. He is so damn handsome. He sees me and blinks for a moment before giving me a smile and a nod. "You'd better be careful," Roxy jokes, nudging me again. "I think John's niece is eyeing Ollie." I look around, and Roxy's right. She's practically ogling him. "Bitch better stay away from my man," I say to myself. "Is he my man?" "Wow, you look so handsome," I tell him as I come up. He grins and takes my hand, another thrill running through me at his touch. "And you look beautiful yourself," he says, delivering a soft kiss to my cheek. My chest gets fuzzy as emotions start running through my body, a mix of panic and arousal and confusion that makes me both smile and want to scream at the same time. He places a hand on my hip, and now desire's added to the mix. When we first came here, it felt weird being on his arm. But now I wear that badge proudly, excited and happy to be here with him. "I wish there weren't so many people," he says quietly, his voice dripping with need. I know he's not trying to seduce me. He's just being honest, but he's making my blood boil, and I bite my lip. I want to melt into him, to find the nearest empty room and ignore the rest of the world. I want to turn the entire universe into a bedroom, a space where Oliver and I can indulge in each other's bodies, and maybe our hearts, too. But not here, right now. It's too much, and we both know it. "Later," I promise him, hoping there is a later. I hope there's more than a later, but that's a foolish hope. By the way, Mom wants us to sit in the front row during the ceremony.
"She didn't want you to walk her down?"
Oliver asks, slightly surprised. "Why?" I shake my head. "I told her to let Rita do it. Grandma was gonna do it, but she was scared about falling in front of everyone. I didn't want her to have to pick between me and Roxy. Besides, Rita and her, they've always been pretty close." "I see," Oliver says, looking around as we reach the front of the chapel area. "This is pretty nice." I nod. I'm loving it. It's gonna be clear weather tomorrow, too, so it's going to be a gorgeous day. "Well, I know it's only been a few days, but I'm glad. Mary Jo deserves as perfect a wedding as she can get." We sit down, taking in the whole chapel. "I bet this place looks a lot different in daylight." Oliver shifts around, pulling his arm around my shoulders as he gets a better view. "I think so. Those windows are going to look out on the ocean, and we'll get a lot more open light. Not that it isn't nice now, but tomorrow it should look fantastic. The sort of place..." Oliver goes quiet, turning back around, and I lean in. "What?" "Nothing," he says, giving me a nervous smile. "Just fantasy running away from me." Before I can push the issue, Roxy walks up, sliding over to find her seat next to me. "Hey, you two lovebirds. I wanted to know if y'all will come to Trixie's with me tonight. I'm gonna be singing and it'll be fun to have a few drinks. Just a little non-wedding fun, you know?" "It's up to Mindy," Oliver says diplomatically, giving me a look. He wants to, I can tell, although I'm not sure why. "I don't know. I'd love to hear Roxy sing, but what would being out with Oliver outside the fantasy be like? Going with him to Trixie's isn't part of the wedding charade. Come on, Mindy. It will be our last night of fun together. What can it hurt?" Roxy asks. "Be a big sis." "All right," I agree, worried. The bass of the music is bumping as we walk up to the club doors. The line's long, but as soon as the bouncer sees us with Roxy, he waves us through, no problem at all. "Hey, Roxy Rocks." "Thanks, Enrique," Roxy says, giving me and Oliver a wink. We go inside, and I have to say, Trixie's is a nice place. The lights are dim, so I can't tell too much about the decorations, but there's lots of mellow blue underlighting that gives the tiles on the floor a shiny tint. There are flashing lights and lasers, but they're restricted to the stage area in the back of the room and dance floor. It's about three quarters filled right now, A couple of gay couples, but mostly pairs of men and women dancing, grinding on each other as the house DJ spins some sexy club tunes. So what do you all think? I nod, looking at Roxy, who's dressed in a sparkling red halter dress that makes her look cute and sexy. She's totally ready to perform. Oliver is easily the hottest man in here, in his fitted black jeans, gray t-shirt, and blazer. I feel sexy myself, dressed in a tight black dress that Roxy said made me look hot. A guy with blonde hair and the bluest eyes I've ever seen approaches us. He's a handsome guy, about 6 feet tall. He's dressed in some dark pants and a dark vest over top of his skin-tight white shirt, but he's clearly not interested in women. Not with the way his eyes crawl over Oliver before he turns his attention to Roxy. "Hey, Roxy girl," he says with a totally put-on lisp, pulling her in for a hug and air-kissing noisily around her face. "You singing tonight?" "You bet your ass I am." "Hey, Brad," she says, gesturing at us both. "This is my sister Mindy and her fiancé Oliver." "Oh my God," he says, bringing his hands to his lips, his eyes passing over me and going wide as he takes in Oliver again. "Have I met you before?" Oliver chuckles, shaking his head no, not that I know of. "Honey, you look like Brad Pitt, with a mix of Chris Pratt and a little bit of Henry Cavill, with a side of whipped cream and a cherry on top." We all three laugh, even Oliver, who looks surprisingly relaxed after just being hit on by a man. He just takes it in stride. "Well, Mindy seems to like me." Brad looks at me, nodding in approval. "Congratulations." "Thank you, I think," I say with a laugh. "So how long have you known Roxy?" Right then, the music changes and Freakily comes on, Petey Pablo's classic, earning a cheer throughout the club. "Oh, hello, bitch. This is my song," Brad yells, bobbing his head and raising his hand while moving his body like an eel. "Sorry, gotta go." He grabs the nearest guy and moves into the crowd and starts twerking. He's dropping it low to the floor and jumping back up again with surprising quickness for a man his size. "Yes, bitch, you better work it," Roxy yells. "Shake that ass, bitch." Looking at him, I can't help but laugh. This place is fun. Roxy smiles, turning her attention back to Oliver and me. "See? I told you. You guys needed to get out. You've been cooped up with us crazy people for 5 days. It's just not healthy. You needed some relaxing fun." "Thanks, Roxy," Oliver says, grinning. "Been a long time since I've been in a place like this." "Come on, I have a table reserved," Roxy says. We go over and sit down, and the music cranks up another notch, making it hard to be heard. "So when do you go on?" Oliver yells, and Roxy checks her watch. "About 30 minutes, she yells back. "You gonna dance?" she asks me. "Dance?" I ask, shocked. "You've seen me dance." "Yeah, but Ollie here hasn't," Roxy teases. "He hasn't seen your spaz special yet." "I bet she's a great dancer," Oliver retorts. "I know she can move." "Yeah, well, let me see you two tear up the dance floor," Roxy says. She checks her watch again, shaking her head. "Okay, I've gotta prepare. Y'all have fun." She slides out of her chair, gives me a kiss on the cheek, and leaves. My eyes are immediately drawn to Oliver, who's looking back at me with intensity in his eyes. "Well, let's get some drinks." The music quiets down for a moment, and he calls a waitress over. "Grey Goose Martini for me and Mindy?" "Stoli and soda," I order. "Twist of lemon?" The drinks come quickly, and Freakalik is still playing when I take my first sip. Off in the crowd, I see Brad getting his groove on. Filled with excitement, the bass of the music is pumping my blood, and I throw back the rest of my drink quickly, deciding to run with it. "Can you dance?" I ask Oliver suddenly. "I might be bad, but I'm not as bad as Roxy makes it sound." I think he's gonna tell me no, but then a grin comes on his face. "I might have a few moves." "Wanna go?" I ask. He climbs to his feet and my heart soars. "Sure, why not? It'll be a warm-up before Roxy gets on stage." We make our way to the now crowded dance floor, moving into the hot undulating bodies, the bass of the music bumping us as much as the people were weaving around. Freakalik is still thumping, the extended club mix obviously a Trixie's favorite. I'm glad. With all this tension in me, I need to let it all out. I've been holding on too tightly, and Oliver notices it as we start dancing. Relax, he says, grinding against me. Just have fun. He places his hands on the small of my back, gyrating against me like he's Channing Tatum and we're in Magic Mike. The heat inside my body only rises as he uses it like it's his personal playground, his hands moving down to grip my ass, his intense gaze burning into me. Watching him, feeling him, I'm fucking shocked. He can move. What can this man not do? He can turn me on with a wink of an eye, fucks like a bull, can tame wild dogs, and now I find out he can move that incredibly hot body of his like nobody's business, and work mine like it is his business. I'm hot and wet between my legs, and it has nothing to do with the temperature in the club. If I could get him to fetch me Funyuns and make a macchiato, he'd be perfect. Wow, I say, wiping sweat off my brow once the song is over. The way he worked me was fucking hot, and I'm glad the song wasn't longer, or else I might not have my skirt on anymore. Seriously, I'm so fucking hot, I almost feel like having him take me down the hallway and fuck me. You can really move, he grins. I'm glad you liked it. Another song comes on and we dance. Not as hot, but that's mostly because of the song. And then we have to go sit down. The music ratchets down a notch too, and I can see the stage crew getting a mic in place for Roxy. Shoot, you wore me out, I say. We sit down and Oliver orders another round. Next round is no alcohol for me, okay? Oliver nods and sips at his martini. Just wait until after Roxy's done and we get back to John's. His words warm my cheeks, and I down about half of my Stolian soda, needing to cool off. Brad comes over to the table with his friend, just as Roxy climbs up on stage, grabbing the mic out of the stand and waving to the applauding crowd. What's up, Trixies? Go, Roxy, I yell, supporting her. Work it! Roxy laughs, and she begins singing several songs, all pop. Taylor Swift, some Selena Gomez, and a few other pop standards. I cheer through each one. Even Oliver gives her a shout out. She can really sing, he says, impressed. There's no way she can give up on this. Yeah, that's my baby sister, I say proudly. I haven't heard her sing in a long time, and it's really great. I love hearing her. She was right. I needed this. After her third song, she takes a moment to pause to address the crowd. Hey, everybody. I'm glad y'all are enjoying my set, but I'd like to share something with you. Tonight, I have two very special guests, my sister, Mindy, and her fiancé, Oliver. Can y'all give them a round of applause? A spotlight opens on us, and everyone is suddenly looking at us and applauding us, and my cheeks burn. Roxy, I'm gonna fucking kill you, I say in my head, while I bow my head stupidly. Meanwhile, Oliver looks less disturbed. And he just smiles and nods his head at people, giving a little wave. Up on stage, Roxy laughs. Ain't her man the best? The past week, we've spent time together, and I've been so inspired by their love. I want something like that one day. So I'm gonna mix it up a bit and dedicate my next song, I Wanna Love You Forever by Jessica Simpson, to them both. Because they make me want to have my own forever love. She clears her throat, and a serious expression goes over her face. No, Roxy, not this. I can't handle this. I glance over at Oliver, who also looks uncomfortable. But then he looks at me, and I can see pain in his eyes, a pain that mirrors mine. You set my soul. Each word is like a stab in my heart as I force myself to listen. The emotion in Roxy's voice rings out. It's so strong, so real, so raw. She really cares about me and my relationship. How in the hell am I supposed to tell her that it's a lie? I'm gonna love. She hits the high note, and tears come to my eyes as Brad jumps out of his seat while the crowd goes wild. Yes, honey, he yells, leading the cheers. Sing, bitch, sing! I climb to my feet, clapping as Oliver rises as well, and we both exchange awkward glances. Tears are streaming down my face, and I'm unable to speak over the lump in my throat. I'm crying, but not for the reason I should be. Even Oliver's looking choked up, and I wish I could feel worthy of what Roxy just gave me. "How'd I do?" Roxy says to me after she gets off stage, dabbing at the tears in her eyes with a napkin. "I hope I didn't fuck it up too much." The tender, vulnerable look in her eyes just adds to the tears streaming down my face. But it isn't because of happiness or gratitude. It's because I feel like an absolute fucking fraud. As I take her in for a hug, I can only tell her the truth. "Baby, you are absolutely amazing."
Chapter 20. Oliver.
"Woo! That was so much fun," Roxy says as we walk through the doors of the mansion at 1 in the morning.
After her set, we stayed another couple of hours, and she's feeling pretty tipsy.
"I'm so glad you guys came."
"We're glad we did too," Mindy says quietly, exchanging a glance with me. I know what she's feeling and thinking. The raw emotion Roxy displayed for us set us both on edge. I feel worse for Mindy. She wanted to please her family too much and didn't think of the consequences. Now we're mired in a web of lies. Even if she did want this to last past this week, the amount of lies and bullshit is so deep that it could poison any chance of our having peace. We can keep it up for a week, but for longer? Hell, I can barely keep the story straight now, and I've been the one telling them. No matter what, for Mindy, it has to end after we go home. Nothing can be done about it now, I say to myself. Only 2 nights left. I don't know if I could go back to my life, though. Knowing that Mindy's literally around the corner, I'll never be able to have a minute's peace.
"You guys looked really good together," Roxy continues. "I saw you dancing on the floor. Y'all were tearing it up."
"Yeah," Mindy says quietly without much enthusiasm. "Listen, Rox, I'm kind of tired. And with the ceremony tomorrow, well, I'm going to head up to bed."
"Sure,"
Roxy says, giving me a big wink.
"You too, Ollie?"
"Yeah, I agree. Roxy, you've got real talent. Don't stop singing, okay?" My words pierce some of the fog of alcohol around her, and she nods.
"Sure, Ollie."
She gives me a big hug, squeezing my neck hard. "I'm gonna love having you as a brother-in-law. Thank you." We all three head upstairs, Roxy in front since she's down the hall from us, and her balance isn't quite what it needs to be. As Mindy and I make sure she doesn't fall and break her neck, she rambles on.
"I can't wait for your wedding. It will be something truly special. Mindy, you gonna let me walk you down the aisle?"
Mindy hesitates, glancing at me. I place a hand on her arm, giving her a nod. Even if we're a lie, Roxy can walk her down when Mindy does get married.
"Of course," she says weakly. "That would be great, Roxy."
"What's wrong?" Roxy asks, turning on the riser. I guess she could hear it in her sister's voice. She weaves a bit, and I steady her shoulders as she peers at her closely.
"This ain't the time to be getting sappy."
"Just tired. The dancing, you know," Mindy says quietly. "Takes it out of you."
"Girl, you act as if you're as old as Grandma," Roxy giggles. "Y'all go on. I'm good to get to my room. Good night, sis. I love you both."
"Night. Love you," Mindy says. "Thank you for the song." "Good night, Roxy," I echo, feeling like I just got punched in the chest. Roxy loves me too? Fuck me, what am I supposed to do now? No matter what, we're gonna break her damn heart. We go into the room. Neither of us says anything, although I can tell she's having the same thoughts I am. Mindy walks over and sits down on the bed, sliding off her shoes before she leans forward, putting her elbows on her knees.
"I had fun tonight. Until..."
Her voice trails off. She shakes her head, her eyes clouded as I come over and sit down next to her.
"It never really hit me how far we've gone with this thing until I heard the emotion in Roxy's voice. How much she feels for us."
I'm silent. I'm not sure what to say. I want to tell her that maybe Roxy's convinced our love is genuine because it is real. Maybe the silly girl sees something we're too stupid to see. But I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. As much as I love being with Mindy, we've only been with each other for 5 days. Everything I've ever been told tells me it's impossible to know if you love a person that fast. But at the same time, no one has ever made me feel the way she makes me feel. I never believed in storybook love before. The sort of all-consuming, all-encompassing love that hits like a bolt of lightning and changes your life forever. I just wish I'd never done this, she says. Don't say that, I say, more emotionally than I intended. But I can't help it, Mindy softly wails, tears coming down her face. I lied to everyone. My family, I'm just a fraud, a big, fat, terrible fraud. I'm a horrible person. I put my arm around her, comforting her as best I can. You're not. You just want them not to judge you and to please your mom. It's totally understandable. Yeah? Then why can't I just tell them the truth then? Even now, I know if I had to tell her, I'd still lie to save face. And I don't know why I fucking care. I'm always brushing things off and don't take things seriously. But this, I just can't. I pull her closer, sliding around me so that I'm holding her from behind, just giving her comfort. Mindy, we all lie to please others. When my parents divorced, I went with my father while Tony went with Mom. You don't talk much about your father, really. I mean, beyond him making your life like boot camp. I nod my head and bury my nose in her hair. Even after a night at the club and tinged with sweat, she smells good. After college, majoring in business, of course, my father brought me into the family business as his right-hand man. Though I was being groomed for success, given a nice chunk of stock, a vice president's position right off the bat. But you gave it up. Why? I nod, holding her more tightly. Because I never wanted to be in pharmaceuticals. Steel Pharma started off generations ago doing good stuff. We developed treatments for yellow fever, for bacterial infections, all of that. When my father took over, though, that started to change. Why? Mindy asks. Because you make more money selling skin tighteners, tooth whiteners, or wrinkle removers than you do curing diseases anymore. My father shifted all the R&D into cosmetic areas, and now the only real medicine Steel makes are generics on stuff that's a generation old or more. That's not the sort of life I wanted to lead. So you quit? Mindy asks. I shake my head. No, not for years. I was like you are now, living a lie and hating every minute of it. My father and I started fighting, and it got worse and worse until I had to walk away. I had to, or else I'd never be able to speak to him again. So I know what it's like, and I'm here for you. Her body trembles, and I hold her closer. She starts to cry, and I turn her to me, holding her in my lap and letting her bury her head in my shoulder. I murmur in her ear, stroking her hair and back, letting her know I'm there for her. Mindy, if it counts for anything, I wouldn't want to lose this week. Why? She asks, sniffing and looking up into my eyes. I stroke her cheek with my thumb and give her a little smile. Because if it hadn't been for this week, I might never have met you. Mindy cuts me off by pulling me close and kissing me, her mouth hot on mine. She's desperate for reassurance and lost in the fantasy that's not really a fantasy anymore. I have to have this moment, too. A chance to reassure her and to show her, even if it's just once, what she really means to me. We tumble to the bed, and I'm careful not to crush her underneath me, her hands tugging at my shirt to stroke my back, not with the rough urgency of our earlier passions, but tenderly, searching for something we can't put into words yet. She mules, moaning like a kitten as I lift her top up to her armpits and explore the silky soft skin of her body. Oliver. I stop and look into her eyes, swallowing back the feelings that are threatening to overwhelm me. I'll be very careful, princess. I sit back, unbuttoning the rest of my shirt and shrugging it off before I scoot back off the bed and unbutton my pants, her eyes drinking me in the whole time. Mindy, I know tonight's maybe our last chance. I want this time to be special. She nods and sits up, pulling off the rest of her clothes and dropping them over the side of the bed. Mindy's smile fades as she looks at me in amazement, blinking silently until my eyes meet hers and I swallow, pulling her to her feet. You truly are the most beautiful woman I've ever known. You make me feel beautiful, she tells me, stepping closer. Mindy smiles and puts her arms around my neck, mashing my cock between us as she kisses me again. She's just short enough without her shoes on that I have to bend my head more than what's comfortable, but it's okay. And she leads me back to the bed, stretching out beside me as we keep kissing. I've never felt my heart filled with such pleasure and pain as we just kiss and let our hands stroke over each other's skin. I never touch her breasts or between her legs. Not yet. I want to explore everything else. Goosebumps of pleasure breaking out on her skin as I pour myself into her. Mindy's touch is just as electric. My brain frizzing out again and again as she finds another spot on my skin that leaves me gasping and moaning. I've never let myself be this vulnerable, this open before. And I know that no matter what, tonight's going to change me forever. Oliver, she whispers in my ear. Even the tickle of the warm air causing me to tremble in anticipation. I want to taste you. Mindy kisses down my body, her eyes beseeching as she looks up at me, smiling. I nod and she reaches out with her tongue. I don't know how to describe what happens to me the instant her tongue touches the tip of my cock. It's like a rifle shot goes through me. My nerves all lit up at once, pleasure beyond anything I've ever thought possible. She licks softly, my body shaken by the sensations each time, and I'm awakened to new heights of ecstasy. After teasing my head with long, loving sucks, she buries my cock in her throat, bobbing up and down until I'm on the edge, and she pulls back, looking me in the eyes with deep emotion. Love, my mind insists on saying. Is that what this is? This feeling inside me? Or is it just that I'm caught up in a fantasy that I hadn't even planned? Am I going insane? Or is Mindy looking at me with a feeling that we never expected? We were supposed to be buddies, friends with benefits as I help her out of a jam. This was never supposed to grow beyond that. Maybe I phase out a little, because the next thing I'm aware of is the sound of a foil packet being opened. And Mindy's kneeling between my legs, rolling a condom down my cock. She rolls over, spreading her legs and giving me a beseeching look. I nod, climbing on top of her and lifting her hips, her eyes still fixed on my face as I line myself up. I push in, the feeling of her pussy again mind-blowing, and I feel something inside me as Mindy opens up doors to my heart and soul. It's not her body, as perfect as it is. It's in the way she looks at me, her eyes full of meaning. I bring my hands up to caress her breasts in gentle strokes. We move slowly, wanting this instant to last forever. The world outside doesn't exist as I bend down and kiss her and begin to thrust in and out slowly. Before, I've been aggressive, powerful, blurring the line between having sex and being greedy with her body. Part of it was the game. Mindy's got a freaky side to her too, and we both enjoy it that way. But this isn't the time for that. Instead, I'm gentle, trying to show her through my body the feelings that I'm too afraid to say. I see it reflected in Mindy as my fears are replaced with a warmth that builds in my chest as we kiss and look into each other's eyes. I kiss her deeply as our bodies move together, my cock rubbing over the places deep inside her with every thrust. Oliver, Mindy whispers before words fail her, and she moans incoherently. My hips speed up to give her what she needs. She wraps her legs around my waist, giving herself fully to me as we build, faster and harder. Our hips start to slap together, and I feel myself building toward a huge orgasm, my back flexing as her fingers claw at my skin. I want to give her everything I have, everything I am, but I can't make words either. And all I can do is make sure she's given everything I can give her. My body is trembling, her pussy sending vibrations through me as we build higher and higher. Mindy's shaking, and I squeeze her ass on the edge myself. Suddenly, her eyes open wide, and she's there, crying out softly in a choked wail. With the final hard thrust, I come, filling the condom as I try to soothe the pain deep in my heart. She's an angel, a fantasy, and I give all I can to her. My body trembles as I hold Mindy afterward, sweat drying on my forehead as we lie looking into each other's eyes. She's still in so much pain, and I wish I could take it all away from her. What is it? Oliver. I love you, she whispers, cupping my cheek. I'm shocked, and my heart leaps in my chest. Is she for real? I want her to be, but how can we really feel this way? Finally, stuck, I tell her the truth. Mindy, I love you too. She nods and gives me a little smile. I can see the question in her eyes, the same one I have. Is she caught up in an emotional moment? Or are her words the truth? I know what I feel. Thank you, she whispers and snuggles against me. Her breathing calms, and in minutes, I can feel her nod off. After she's asleep, I give her a kiss on the forehead, still troubled. I was telling her the truth. Crazy as it sounds, I was. Was she?
Chapter 21. Mindy. I can't help but feel my pulse quicken as I hear the violins and flutes start up, the pre-ceremony music just as beautiful as I thought it would be. In fact, everything is as beautiful as I could have ever dreamed of. Everyone is dressed to perfection, all the women looking gorgeous in nice dresses, and all the men in their suits or tuxedos. The flowers are perfect, the weather is perfect, everything is amazing. Even the sun and clouds are cooperating, with just enough puffy cotton balls in the sky to break up all the eye-watering blue, without taking away from the impact of the sky and the ocean. The procession music starts, and the priest comes down the aisle, his plump, cherubic face smiling over the top of his vestments, and his Bible held to his chest reverently. After him comes John, who looks dashing and proud in his tuxedo, his face beaming as he looks forward to the next 30 minutes that will change the rest of his life. Behind him are the flower girls, each of them looking innocent and joyful as they sprinkle white rose petals down the aisle. Their dresses fit just right, and their gold-trimmed baskets twinkle merrily as the musicians swing into the pause, building toward Mom's big entrance. This is so beautiful, Roxy whispers next to me on my left. She's the prettiest I've ever seen her, and I almost can't believe the angel sitting next to me is my little sister. I can hardly wait. I nod, unable to form words, and I turn my head the other way to get a better view of the back of the church. As I do, I see Oliver, sitting on my right. He looks so handsome in his own tux, his bright eyes taking it all in, his jaw set, and he's whispering something to himself as he takes it all in. It's the only flaw in this perfect day. Every time I look at him today, I feel sick. I know it's drawing to a close. After tonight, what we have will be no longer. We don't even have much time today. It's Mom's day. We'll have the reception and party that'll last to at least 1 in the morning, and we'll spend all day with the family tomorrow. Both days, we're going to go to sleep exhausted, and then Monday morning, we'll board the plane to go back to the real world again. Who knows what's going to happen then? I guess we could continue dating, and a part of me is hopeful we will, but there is no guarantee. All day, I've had another image running in my head, though. We go back to town, and I go back to work at the Bingal's den. He calls a few times, and maybe stops by the shop, but as we look at each other, we just know that the fantasy was just that, and our time is over. I found myself crying in the bathroom as I took a shower this morning, because the image was so strong in my head. Why couldn't he see that I was serious last night when I said I love him? Was he just giving me a last little bit of fantasy? I gave him time to say more, but he didn't. All I wanted was for him to say that he wants to see me at home, and that we can make it work somehow. But he didn't. And now? You okay? Roxy asks, seeing the tears forming in my eyes. It's a lot, I know. Yeah, I agree quietly. What's taking Mom so long? I don't know. I wonder if... Hush, you two, Grandma whispers. I am not going to have this tarnished because my granddaughters can't stop jabberjawing. Roxy gives me a smirk, and I can't help but smile a little. Grandma looks like she's about to burst because she's so happy. The musicians swing into the wedding march, and we all stand as the doors in the back of the church open, and Mom steps in with Aunt Rita. My goodness, Roxy whispers, truly stunned, and I have to agree. Sure, we saw Mom in the dress just last night, but today, with her hair and makeup done, the lighting just right, and all the build-up, she's more beautiful than I've ever seen her in my life. Aunt Rita looks proud enough to burst herself in her dress, a pale apricot color that makes her look young and beautiful. They reach the altar, where Rita passes Mom over to John and steps back to her position on the side. The preacher starts his speech, but to be honest, I stop paying attention. Instead, I think about Mom. She's beaming, looking at John with her eyes lit up, the perfect bride. Despite whatever turmoil I'm feeling inside over my own life, I couldn't be happier for her. She truly looks happy. After Daddy's death, she never crumbled. Even as Roxy and I mourned, even as the insurance money ran out and the costs mounted, she was our rock. She was the one who made sure enough of Daddy's life insurance was set aside to pay for college for Roxy and me. She was the one who worked hard raising two daughters who were, in reality, not that easy to deal with. She sacrificed a lot for us, and though we may have never actually said it, we appreciate what she did for us and never want to disappoint her. I was a bit worried when she met John, as I saw her become what I thought was too comfortable with her new lifestyle. But over the past week, she's reassured me, and now I'm nothing but happy for her. And now, the minister says, turning to John. John, do you take Mary Jo to be your wife? To love and honor, to cherish and protect, in good times and bad, as long as you both shall live? I do, John says, sliding Mom's ring on her finger, and my heart catches in my throat. We're at the ultimate moment, and I can barely breathe. The minister turns to Mom. And you, Mary Jo, take John to be your husband, to have and to hold, to love and cherish, through sickness and in health, in good times and in bad, as long as you both shall live? I do, Mom replies, sliding the ring onto John's finger. The veil, please, the minister says, and John lifts Mom's veil. The world doubles, then triples for a moment before I realize that I'm crying, and I hurriedly wipe at my eyes. I have to see this clearly. You may kiss the bride. John and Mom kiss, and as they step back, I glance at Oliver. He's beaming, and a thought runs through my head. If only. If only. Let the party begin. Leave it to Roxy to kick the reception off right. She bursts through the doors of the reception hall, already thrusting her hands up in the air, ready to turn the reception into her own personal rave if she has to. I can't help it. I'm caught up in her enthusiasm. Everyone is. And pretty soon, I'm laughing and joking along with everyone else. Well, hello there, Brad yells as he crosses the floor. Of all the guests at the wedding or the reception, he's easily the loudest, both in the way he talks and in the way he's dressed. Then again, anyone wearing a bright lilac suit and pink bow tie to a wedding is going to stand out. I was hoping to see you. I think he's talking to you, Roxy laughs, poking Oliver, who's just returned with some wine from the open bar. I take a sip, and it's good wine, that's for sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm hot as hell right now, but I know he doesn't have eyes for me. Oliver hands me my drink, chuckling. Hello, Brad. Enjoy the wedding?
Brad grabs the wine from Oliver's hand before tossing it back, grinning. Honey, I'm just looking forward to the day I get to be up there. I'm gonna be one sexy bitch. I